Our study tonight is in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 through 8. God's righteous branch to replace Judah's sinful rulers. Following God's pronounced judgment of Josiah's wicked descendants, Shalom, Jehoiakim, and Kaniah, he countered with a positive prophecy about the righteous branch of David, who would rule Judah in blessing. One of the wonderful things about the Old Testament prophets is they would talk about the woeful situations that they faced in their day, and then right opposite that, they would have a prophecy about our Lord. And it's an encouragement, it's direction to God's people to look forward to the wonderful future of our Lord's kingdom. So we view that edifying prophecy about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, in Jeremiah 23, 1 to 8, for our edification. I want to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Jeremiah chapter 23, 1 through 8. Woe be unto the pastors, another translation would be unto the shepherds that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, against the shepherds that shepherd my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them or care for them. They shall no more fear nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. In other words, none of them will be missing. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness, or Yahweh Tzidkenu in the Hebrew. We'll look at that later. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, The Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all the countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Wonderful, wonderful future for the nation Israel. The Lord promised to judge Judah's kings for failing to shepherd the people under their care. He pronounced a woe against Judah's kings who acted as evil shepherds who, instead of helping the flock, were destroying and scattering God's people of Judah. Specifically, these rulers had not led the people to obey God's law. So the people had sinned to where the Lord had to send them into national captivity, scattering them from their pasture land of Judah. Incidentally, this is the absolute most important requirement for an overseer of God's people, whether it's in a shepherd, whether it's in a family, or whatever, and that is directing subordinates to obey the word of God. Because if they don't obey the word of God, then God has to discipline them. And that's where it gets tough. So the most loving thing you can do as a leader is to disciple people under you to heed the word of God. So God would thus bring calamitous judgment on these kings for such failure as Judah's shepherds. But to fill the vacuum of good leadership left by such evil shepherds, God himself would gather Judah's remnant from all the nations from which he had driven them in judgment, bringing them back to their pasture land of Judah and causing them to be productive and to increase there in blessing. See, God is still likening the people to sheep. And for sheep to be blessed, they have to come back. They have to be in a pasture. They need to be nurtured. And then a healthy sheep automatically lamb, and then they multiply. And then it's a time of tremendous blessing. Well, at that time, the coming messianic kingdom, God would set up godly shepherds over his people who would care for his people, resulting in their no longer being afraid, dismayed, or going missing. Now, some scholars believe that what God is going to do is in the messianic kingdom, he's going to raise up people like David and Abraham and so forth from the dead, and Daniel and so forth, and he's going to make these men under shepherds under the Lord Jesus. And these men will, in their glorified bodies, will be shepherding the people of Israel. That'll be something. You'll have a whole group of God's flock under David over here, and a bunch of them over under Abraham over here, and Daniel, Jeremiah over there, these people will be shepherded by these dear men of God. Well, opposite Jeconiah, who had been cut off, no longer having a descendant to sit on David's throne and to prosper, you'll remember that from Jeremiah 22, 28 to 30, God would raise up another Davidic king as a righteous branch from the cut-off figurative stump of the Davidic kings, another member of the Davidic line. The reason he's called a branch is you have to look at the picture of a stump. Pretend this is a stump, and this is the ground right here, okay, and the stump is growing up, and it used to grow up into a big tree. Well, the tree was cut off right here, all right? And so Jeconiah would not have anybody else. But out of the stump down here comes a twig, all right, a sprig, and it comes out, and it grows into a big tree. And so this sprig, this is the righteous branch. It's coming out below the cut line, and it's going to come up, and it's going to grow up, and of course that's going to be the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. So that's where you get the picture of the branch. That's why it's talking about a righteous branch. You've cut the stump off, and so below the cut line, you're going to have this branch growing up, the Messiah. Now the fulfillment, and of course he's going to reign, he's going to prosper, he's going to execute justice and righteousness in the land. Jesus Christ will be a refreshing breath of fresh air compared to the kings of Judah and Israel's past. He's going to just deal with justice. People who are vulnerable will be protected. Widows, orphans, aliens, they'll be protected instead of being taken advantage of as happened so many years before. People who may be mentally challenged will be protected. Okay, you won't have certain types of lawyers taking advantage of them at all. Christ won't tolerate it at all. He's going to rule with an iron rod of iron, but it's going to be just, it's going to be fair, and you're going to have tremendous protection for people who are vulnerable. Well, the fulfillment of this promise, namely the promise in regards to the branch that comes out from underneath the cut-off stump line, the fulfillment of this comes by means of Mary, the mother of Jesus, because she was of the line of David by David's uncursed son Nathan. Nathan was one of the younger sons of David, and that's the line through which Mary comes. But she was married to Joseph, who was Jeconiah's cursed line. But you had to have Jeconiah's cursed line involved in the family, otherwise Jesus would have no right to the throne. He couldn't have a right just by Nathan. He had the birthright of being the son of David through Nathan, but not the right to the throne. So what happens is Jesus is born of the virgin birth by Mary, but Mary is married to Joseph. And according to Jewish law, Jesus has the right to rule on the throne by way of adoption. He has the adoptive right of the man who's married to his mother, Joseph. So Jesus is the only possible person who legally can rule on the throne of David without being cursed. He's not a Jeconiah's line, he's a Nathan's line, but he gets to rule through Joseph. And Joseph was under the cursed line of Jeconiah, but he gets to rule as the Messiah and the rightful heir to the throne. So the fulfillment of the promise comes by means of Mary, the mother of Jesus, being in the line of David by David's uncursed son Nathan. And of her marriage to Joseph, who was of Jeconiah's cursed line, that would give Jesus the legal right to the throne, but in bypassing Jeconiah's curse by way of the virgin birth. It's amazing how God beautifully took the virgin birth and made it the solution to this complex problem in the genealogy. Just smooth it over, just as smooth as butter. It's amazing, the grace of God. Well, in the days of this Messiah king, he would rule and save Judah, that's the southern kingdom, while Israel in the northern kingdom would dwell safely from foreign invasion, for the northern and the southern kingdoms would be again united as they were under King David. See, after they split, they were, those two elements of Israel were united under David, then under his son Solomon. But it was in the days of Rehoboam that they split, and they never did get back together. Now, they came back into the land together, but they were not ruling, they were not a united nation under a Davidic king. But in Jesus' day, as the seed of David, they're going to rule, he's going to rule, and he's going to rule over both of those nations connected together. And they're going to dwell in safety. Now, this king would be called the Lord our righteousness, or Yahweh Tzidkenu. And that's a play on words opposite Judah's last and unrighteous king Zedekiah, whose name in Hebrew was Tzidkiyahu. See, there's a difference between Yahweh Tzidkenu and Tzidkiyahu, which means my righteousness is Yahweh. Unlike Zedekiah, who's named my righteousness is Yahweh, but who failed to live up to his name, the righteous Messiah and God incarnate would live up to his name as the Lord our righteousness. He would be God incarnate, and he would be our righteousness. So great would be God's coming deliverance of his people from their having been scattered among the nations that no longer would the people say, "The Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt," but "The Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel from all the countries whither I had driven them," predicts the Lord. At that time, God's people would dwell in their own land, no longer as strangers in foreign nations. You got many, many Jews living outside of the land of Israel today. I think at one time I said, I heard that there were as many Jews living in Brooklyn as there are in the nation Israel. You got a lot of Jews living in Brooklyn. But someday, the people of Israel will return to their native land, and they will dwell in their own country. They'll have to live as foreigners in somebody else's country. They'll live in their own country. So, opposite the failure of Judah's wicked king spiritually to shepherd God's people to obey the Lord and thus avoid being attacked by invading Gentiles and scattered from their land into captivity, God would raise up the Messiah, the righteous branch, and the Lord our righteousness to unite, protect, shepherd, and bless his people, and to set up godly believers as shepherds under the rule of the Lord Jesus in his coming messianic kingdom. This deliverance would be so great, it would supplant in fame God's deliverance of Israel out of Egypt. So, may we set our hope on our coming Messiah and King Christ as the solution to the problems of all God's people have faced over the centuries regarding errant leaders. We've got problems with leadership in our world today, no question about it. But the day is coming when our Lord will rule on the throne of David, and he'll rule over the whole world. And we are going to rule with him. We're going to reign with him. Now, though we're not yet in the messianic kingdom, since God will raise up godly men under Christ to shepherd his people, may we who are in oversight walk with God today, that he might use us to shepherd his people in righteousness, justice, peace, and blessing. And of course, this type of leading is seen in 1 Peter chapter 5, 1-4. I'd like to turn there. And we'll see what it involves. In 1 Peter 5, 1-4, the Apostle Peter is writing, and he says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, shepherd," literally, "shepherd the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Okay, what is going on here? This involves leading willingly, not because we must lead. That's how God wants leaders to lead today. We must not lead for shameful or dishonest gain, but eagerly, selflessly. We must not lead by domineering God's people, by being bullies to God's people, but rather by way of a godly example. For such leadership, Christ himself, our chief shepherd, will offer the reward of a crown of glory that fades not away. That would be really remarkable, to be able to receive a crown of glory from the Lord Jesus Christ himself for leading, shepherding the people of God the way God wants his people to be shepherded. May God help us to do that for his glory.